Like the church submitted to Christ, like the body is to the head, you know, it's not exactly like the body, because in this sense, because the body doesn't have any will of its own. When my brain tells a hand to do something, it automatically does it. But it's more a picture like Christ and me. The Lord tells me to do something. Christ loved me. He tells me to do something, but He gives me the freedom to say yes or no. You know that. Sometimes you say no. And who's the loser? You. But there's one difference, that your husband is not perfect. When Christ tells me to do something, it's a perfect person telling me to do something, and you need not have any doubt about obeying him. But when your husband tells you to do something, remember that is not a perfect person. It's an imperfect person. And therefore, it's not exactly like we submit to Christ. Because there, God has given you as an helper sometimes to tell your husband, well, darling, that's not exactly right, you know. See, God has put you together so that together you can take decisions. You're like the elders in your home. Like a church has got two elders, husband and wife are the elders of your children. And like I said yesterday, two elders balance out each other. Why did God give Barnabas to Paul and Paul to Barnabas? Because they were balancing each other. There was grace and truth together there. And when God gives a husband and wife to each other, it is so that they can balance out each other. It's like taking a photograph of a building. For example, if you took a photograph of a building from the front side there and a photograph of this building from the back side, you'd get two completely different pictures. But it's when you put both of them together that you get the full picture of the house. You know that they say that if you had only one eye, you won't be able to see in three dimensions. You'll be able to see in two dimensions. It's two eyes that help you to see in three dimensions. And so, a man who does not ask his wife's help is like a one-eyed man. He can see, but there's tremendous limitation in what you'll be able to see. If, on the other hand, you recognize your wife's contribution, she can give you slightly different. Your eyes, if both eyes were here, you wouldn't get the same three-dimensional vision. Your other eye has to be a little away, and your wife has to see things from a slightly different perspective than you. Then you get a three-dimensional picture of the problem and of the solution. Encourage your wife to see things from her standpoint. Don't force her to come to the front of the building and take the picture from where you're taking it, because then you'll miss something. Those husbands who force their wives to think like them are going to miss the total picture. God has made her different. God has made her a helper, different from you, so that she can present her view and you present yours. You put it together and you pray before God, and as you weigh those things together before God, because she's an equal heir with you on the throne of the grace of life. 1 Peter 3 says that. Ultimately, you come to a decision which is good. I can think of many decisions that my wife and I have taken through the years for our children and our home, and I'm so thankful that I didn't take them all myself. I think my home would have been a mess if I'd done that. So many things I can think of where I thought we should do it some way, and I consulted with her, and she had a different view, would put our views together, and we did it in a different way. I didn't give up my headship, but I recognized that I can't do things without the body. The brain doesn't give up its position as the brain just because it says to the hand, I need you. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 12, the head does not say to the feet, I don't need you. And no man should ever say to his wife, I don't need you. You need her desperately, and not just to produce children, not just to have sex, not just to cook your food or wash your clothes, but much more important than all those things, to be a partner for life together. So your wife must be like a lover. You know, you must read Song of Solomon. I encourage all of you husbands and wives, read Song of Solomon together. And if you're really freed from Indian culture, the husband should read the bridegroom's part, and the wife should read the bride's part to each other. It's really exciting, I tell you that. I don't see any excitement. We are still bound by Indian culture. Okay. It'll go. Just give us time. It's in Scripture. Why is it when you open the Bible right in the middle, you come into Song of Solomon? Because God wanted that to be the relationship between a husband and wife. There's nothing wrong in that. And it says there about the bride as she leans upon her beloved and walks through life. It's a picture of how the wife lives in constant fellowship with her husband and walks through life like that. Lovers, I'm his and he is mine. Just like we sing to the Lord. That's the relationship you should have with your husband. And as I said, your husband may be wrong in many areas. He's imperfect. And it's more difficult when a husband is imperfect. But the Bible says very clearly in 1 Peter 3 that if your husband is disobedient to God's word, you wives, win him. Don't win him by preaching to him. It says win him by your behavior. It's very clear. 1 Peter 3:1 says, win him by your behavior, not by your preaching. Win him by your behavior. That means as you conduct yourself respectfully, because when they observe your pure, respectful behavior and not your preaching, boy, you'll win them. Do you feel that your husband is disobedient in some area? You find it's difficult to submit to him? How do a lot of women submit to bosses in their office who are so evil? How many women there are working in offices today and the bosses are also wicked? But they submit to imperfect people. Why is it only at home you can't submit to an imperfect husband? And remember, your husband when he goes to work has to submit to an imperfect boss there. That guy's not perfect. You think your husband's boss is a wholehearted believer? You've got to be crazy. He's not. He's a godless atheist perhaps. But your husband has to submit to him. He yells at your husband and threatens him and all that. He submits. Because the Bible says you've got to submit to authority. I mean, he can do that at work. Can't you submit to an imperfect husband? In wisdom. I'm not saying you've got to do anything wrong or evil. And you should not allow somebody to destroy your personality. God has given you a personality. Don't let him destroy it. So you need to understand what I'm saying. It's always very easy for these things to be misunderstood when you allow Indian culture to determine what I'm saying. Let me tell you the story of a man who got married, and his wife was a believer, and he was not a believer. And one of the first things he told her was to come with me to the cinema. Some dirty movie. And of course, she didn't want to go, but she was wise. She said, okay, I'll come with you. And they sat through that two-hour movie, and she sat through the whole thing with her eyes closed, praying. And every time there was some exciting scene there, he would nudge her as if she was fast asleep. She didn't see a single thing in that movie theater. When he went back, he said to her, I'll never take you to a movie again. Was she wise? Did she rebel? Wives, be wise. Wisdom is greater than strength. Have you heard the old story of the sun and the wind had a competition? Children's story? I love to tell that story. The sun and the wind had a competition once to see who was more powerful. So how to find out? They said, there's a man walking on that road with a coat. Let's see who can get him to take his coat off. So the sun said to the wind, you try first. And the wind blew and blew to pull off his coat. But the more the wind blew, the more the man hugged his coat tight to him. The more the wind blew, the more tight he put it around him. The wind said, I give up. The sun said, okay, let me try. And the sun became hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And he took off his coat. Wisdom is better than strength. It's in the Bible, in the book of Ecclesiastes. Wisdom is more powerful than strength. Warm your wife with your love, and you'll get her to do more than by shouting and yelling at her like the wind. Warm your husband with your love, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I mean, that's not exactly in scripture, but But you can win him. You wives, you want something? Warm him. Put your arm around him and don't just yell at him all the time. You'll get a lot more things out of your wife if you warm him like the sun instead of blowing at him like the wind as soon as he comes through the door. It's simple. So, the wife is called to be a helper to her husband. God said, I want Eve to be a helper. You sisters, did you know this? That the Bible gives you the same name as the Holy Spirit? How many of you knew that? In Genesis chapter 2, God says, I want to give Adam a helper. Genesis chapter 2, it's a helper. And in John chapter 14, Jesus said, I'm going and I will send from heaven a helper for you. Helper? The same name that God the Father gave to Eve is given to the Holy Spirit. And I like to see that. When I'm ministering here, do you see the Holy Spirit? No. But I sense Him. The Holy Spirit's so humble that He remains invisible and lets me get all the glory when He's doing all the work. It's fantastic, isn't it, the Holy Spirit? He gives me the words to say and helps me to say it and then acts as if He's not there at all. Imagine a wife like that, unseen, hidden behind the scenes, you know, pushing her husband up and encouraging him and blessing him, blessing him. And people think the husband's a great man. He doesn't know that the wife does a lot for him. I've heard a preacher who his wife used to even write the notes for him, for sermon notes. And the way they found out was once he got stuck somewhere, he said, I can't read my wife's handwriting. But anyway, she was a good wife. Everybody thought the husband was a great preacher, but